Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Professor Is In podcast. My name is Kel Weinhold, and before we get started, just a quick shout out to our sponsors who make the podcast possible. And that sponsor is you or somebody like you. But if you are not yet a sponsor and you enjoy the podcast, we'd really appreciate your support. You can head on over to bit.ly/ourpod and sign up for only $3.99 a month, and you get a private network and a whole bunch of access to us. So bit.ly/ourpod, come on down.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Professors In podcast. As always, I'm delighted that you're here with us today. I'm Dr. Karen Kelski of the Professors In.
And as the previous promo also noted, I'm Kel Weinhold of the Professors In, resident productivity support person. We get to do something that we have never done before on this podcast. This is a breakout moment for us. We get to have a guest on for the second time.
Woo-hoo.
And so I'm very excited about that. And that guest is the, are there enough adjectives? Like, there's a word that I always mispronounce. What's inimitable? Is that it?
Inimitable.
Inimitable. Alante Whitmore, who is the founder of Blackening Grad School and the founder of the yearly summit called the Grad School Success Summit. And that's what we're here to talk about today, is the Grad School Success Summit. But before that, we'll let Alante introduce herself because she will.
Welcome, Alante.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Karen and Kel. I'm so happy to be back and excited to talk about the Grad School Success Summit. For those of y'all who maybe haven't heard the other episode, my name is Alante Whitmore. I am now a PhD candidate. I'm pursuing a joint PhD in civil engineering and engineering and public policy at Carnegie Mellon. My work looks in shared autonomous vehicle, mobility, integrated with public transportation. And when I'm not spending my time writing my dissertation, I am podcasting. And so I've been hosting Blackening Grad School since 2017 when I started my PhD process. And I've chronicled my entire experience as a Black woman going through graduate school. And I interview other current and early graduates of Black folk with advanced degrees. And we just try to provide inspiration, motivation, and resources and tips to get through the grad school journey. And so I'm so happy to be here again and to talk to you all, and just so grateful always for your support.
Absolutely. We are delighted to have you. We love talking to you. So before we go any further, tell us about the Grad School Success Summit. When is it? What is it? And who should come?
Absolutely. So the Grad School Success Summit was created out of a need I felt for incoming graduate students. You know, that summer between whatever you're doing before work, if you were an undergrad or master's program, or, you know, maybe spending some time having a gap year, but coming into graduate school, I felt like there were so many things that I wish I could have done with my summer, or kind of had a couple of like notes like, hey, you should expect this, or this is what you should be thinking about as you enter into graduate school. And so this virtual summit I've been doing now 4 years, this will be the fourth summit, where I connect with other really heavyweights in the academic content creation space. And we share our experiences, we share our resources to incoming and current graduate students to help them make the most of the summer before they start school or the next academic year. And so it's for anyone who, again, is incoming to graduate school, someone who's in grad school, or even if you're someone who's supporting a graduate student, be it as a partner, family member, faculty, I think it's really ideal. And so this year, it is June 14th through the 16th, 2021. It's online. We are upping things. We have a great virtual event platform and a team of planners that we've put together the summit. And of course, we have our amazing sponsors like the Professors In to help us make all of this happen.
Well, talk about something we are excited to sponsor.
Yeah,
this was a great one.
We cannot imagine a better thing to sponsor.
It's outstanding. So I have a couple questions for you about the structure of the summit. And it's predominantly for students of color, yes?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. So women and people of color, we center that experience in the summit.
Okay, great. So if someone wants to come to the summit, what can they expect in a day, or what's their day going to look like? How many days is it? Just sort of like, give me my first time walkthrough. What's going to happen for me? Not for me, sure. Obviously, but someone who,
right.
It's for.
So it's a 3-day summit, and we recognize that people are busy, and so it's not meant to be overwhelming. So we have 3 sessions each night. The first 2 are on our virtual event platform. We have speakers that discuss things like imposter syndrome, academic writing, ways to prepare your finances. We like to have like some sort of workout class or something. And so the first day there'll be 2 sessions where we discuss like any of those topics. And there's an opportunity this year for networking. That's something that we were able to add. So many people want to connect, right? We're trying to also help foster community. And so there's an opportunity between our sessions to have a networking opportunity with other incoming and current graduate students. And so I am really excited about that. And then in the evening, right after that. So typically this is an evening. The summit's at night. The summits typically starts about 6-ish Eastern Standard Time. And after our 2 sessions each night, we actually head over to IG Live and we have what I call a wind down. And there, you grab your, you've had a long day. You're tired of like being on Zoom, at least switch to your phone. And we can like have, a glass of wine or your water, your coffee, whatever you need for the evening. And we talk about, we're able to have like a more real conversation about some of the things that you can expect. We recap the summit and the topics that we went over that day, and just kind of give a chance for us to like let our hair down a little bit. I mean, the cool thing about doing this is it doesn't have to be super formal. We're all about being authentic and real and telling stories, but it makes it a little bit more fun to like, just like not even be on your computer and be on your phone and laughing and, responding on IG Live. So that happens for 3 days. Each day we try to have like really exciting conversations, panels. There's sometimes co-presenters, solo presenters. And then after it's all over, you get access to everything, right? Everything goes onto my YouTube channel. Like the last 3 summits are on there and all those resources are there. And that way, if you miss something or if you joined late or if you want to revisit it, you can always go do that.
That's so cool. It sounds so fun.
We try.
So how much does it cost?
It is absolutely free, right? Woo-hoo! Graduate students. Yeah. I recognize as a graduate student, we have modest pockets. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I want to do is to have resources that you have to pay for, especially when you're about to go into graduate school. Like we talk about finances because I felt like a hidden cost, even like that my technology and transportation fee wasn't paid. And so I don't want to have people paying to get that information when that's not necessary. So that's sponsors fantastic. Help make it happen. And this year, you all as a presenting sponsor have covered the cost of the conference so that everyone can come and get all this information for free. Mm-hmm.
It is a great honor to be able to do so. I'm just curious, I have a small technical question, but what's the platform the network, or I forget what you called it, but basically the networking platform?
Yeah, so we found this really cool virtual event platform called FeedLoop. And okay. So it has a wonderful virtual lobby. And so once you register, you'll be given your own special code to join FeedLoop. And there you'll see the schedule. You'll be able to join all the sessions. And there's a tab, right, for the networking. And you can search people by their location. You can search people by their gender and their name. And you can connect with them and send them a message. Then you can exchange Instagrams or Twitter or numbers if they're going to the same school as you. So it's really a place where we can begin to create community virtually and in person if you're going to be going to a new school in the fall.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I had a chance to go to 2 virtual conferences this year, and they both used platforms like that. And I was actually amazed at how much they were able to do, that you have little avatars walking around the conference room and meet up with folks and chat. And I don't know if yours will do that, but in any case, I thought it was pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. I will tell you all now, it doesn't have that much capability, but it's still going to be easy for you to find other people and connect with them.
That's fantastic.
it's the perfect platform for introverts to go to a conference and network. I love exactly. it. And I would love if every conference from now on involved me staying at home and chatting with people via a screen, because then I could just check out when I don't want to do exactly. it anymore.
But I have to tell you, even my avatar stood in the corner for quite a bit of the conference.
We are who we are, right?
Yeah, oh my gosh. Anyway.
So I know that we talked a little bit about this the last time that you were on, but I wanted to ask you again, because I think it bears reminding people, what do you see as when you were starting off, and you said last time that we talked that sort of shock when you asked everybody, what should I do to get ready for graduate school? And they said, oh, you're fine, go ahead. And then you got there and everybody'd read the books and everybody was like, you felt not prepared for what was happening.
Absolutely.
So I'm interested in other places and interactions that you feel like first generation scholars of color, people traditionally shoved to the margin of the traditional, particularly PWI. What do you see as the big challenges coming in that first year? And I'm prefacing this by understanding that you will be addressing these things in the summit. So that's a foregone conclusion, but I'd love to hear about them.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I feel like some of the things that happened to me were like, yeah, this whole like, just enjoy your summer. And when you get here, you'll be ready. And it's like, then I found out that, again, like you said, a lot of my colleagues had the book all summer. So able to read and kind of let their minds think on what we were learning. And so I think the shock of kind of just getting thrown in, especially as someone who, so I worked between my master's and PhD. And so I was rusty as an engineer coming back into classes and, you know, being a full-time graduate student. And so I just felt very much so like unprepared. And then a lot of us are coming into these spaces and we might be one of very few in a space. And so if you're one of very few, like as a Black woman, if I'm one of, in my cohort, I'm one of one. And then I'm in two programs. In the other program, when I joined, I was one of one for the department. It's better now, but that's the way it was when I got there. And my experience was very much so like, okay, well, you all are prepared and then I'm not. And so I already kind of, you feel just a little bit different and like set apart just by virtue of like no one else in the space looks like you. And then to feel like academically, you kind of also aren't as prepared as your colleagues, that can just, that can be a rock to your confidence, right? And so that part, I feel like, is something we really want to address. Ask your advisor more than the question I asked, what should I be doing? Saying, are there readings? Is there a program I need to be familiar with? Is there, you know, do you know the typical first classes? So maybe you can look online and reach out to the professors. Those types of things and giving us action items and kind of empowering students who attend the summit to take steps to get that support. Another thing, again, is those finances. Like when I was coming from North Carolina A&T to Illinois, where I got my master's degree, you know, I had a fellowship. And so I thought every single thing was covered. I had zero cost, right? And I didn't really understand fully what a fellowship was. I just felt like, okay, it's a full ride. That's what I understand. Those are the words I know. And I had, you know, maybe a $400 bill. I didn't have $400 to cover that bill. I wasn't prepared for that. And had someone told me, say in May or June, maybe I could have saved $200, $300 or a nice chunk of that, if not all of it, in preparation for this bill, where I kind of just felt like sideswipe even financially, like I already don't make a whole bunch of money. This $400 is actually kind of like strenuous for me to like come up with immediately. You know, I can't call my family to like cover these costs. Like I have to cover these on my own. So those are things that I feel like the university is like $400, but we're paying, you know, $70,000 of your tuition. What's that? It's like, well, when you are the first person in your family to go to this level, or you are someone who comes from a low income background, $400 is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
You know, that's a lot of money. And so just kind of giving those heads up, right? Like, hey, this is probably going to come down the line. They don't cover, even if you have a tuition waiver, it's not going to cover every single thing. So put some money aside. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'm sure you all are also familiar with this, the fact that academia is so nomadic in nature, right? And we move around a lot. And so when you are moving, I've now, you know, I've lived in like, I think in my, I'm 32 now, so I'm a little bit older now, but I've lived in like 5 states in the last 10 years, you know, right. And it's like, how do you make new friends if this is your first time moving away from home? Right. Or like, mm-hmm. yeah, how do you build community? How do you kind of even insert yourself in study groups? Those are the types of things that when I was in my master's, I was very uncomfortable and didn't feel confident kind of like creating relationships within my cohort. I was okay socially, but again, some people might have the opposite issue where they kind of feel uncomfortable socially in a new city. And so we want to help with that. And another thing that that isn't part of my journey per se to the extent of others is caregiving. Like there was a part of my journey where I did do some caregiving in my PhD program, but there are mothers, fathers, you know, individuals who are caring for older family members that are still in graduate school. And I think it's so important to help that community. Like here are some tools and resources you can use. Here's what you can advocate for when you get to your university. Here's what you should be expecting, and helping them to also be empowered when they go into the space versus feeling like less than. So mm-hmm, mm-hmm. those are a couple of things that we're going to cover. We'll do fun stuff too. And, you know, there'll be a fitness class and stuff like that so that we can talk about those things as well. But those are pieces that I felt like are really important, especially for the community that I serve.
That's so, I thought I heard you say there'd be a workout class and did I hear that correctly? So there is, so that's great. I love that. It's so important. You know, that people maintain a sense of their body and physical being, because grad school yes. will take that out of you in a heartbeat. So mm-hmm. what kind of stuff are you going to do for that?
There's a couple of options. We've done the yoga classes in the past. And so this year I'm thinking I want to do something a little bit more active, like maybe like a cardio class, or like a HIIT class, something like that. And we're also making a virtual swag bag. And so I'm hoping to like throw some recipes in there or something like that. Or some more exercises from some trainer that we connect with. That's the hope, because that is so important. Like you said, working out has kept me sane yeah. these last right. 2 years. So, right. Yeah.
Yeah. That, and it's, you know, I talk about that in my productivity coaching about how the first step to productivity is your body, that it's the bottom of the pyramid. And if you don't keep that situated, things are going to come undone pretty quickly. And I watch it happen in graduate school with that sense of that sort of message that gets dripped in that you always could be working. So anything you take separate is somehow diminishing your graduate school experience or not showing up fully or whatever it is. So I'm here to remind everybody, your body first, everything else comes after that. So that's great. I want to go back to something.
Hey, can I just say one thing?
Yeah, sure.
I always think about that line that you see on Twitter and a lot of, if you don't pick a day to take off, your body will pick one for you. Mm-hmm. And it'll be a lot less convenient.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's actually true. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way. But if you can work yourself to sickness. There's no doubt about it. I just want to get back to this because I think it's such a incredibly valuable thing to highlight is this idea of how the academy is so nomadic and that we don't talk enough about what it means to dislocate yourself over and over and over again. And you've stayed, I think you've stayed in the Midwest, at least you've stayed in a familiar cultural milieu.
Mm-hmm. Illinois mm-hmm. to Pittsburgh is a pretty big cultural shift. Being yes. from Pittsburgh as I am and having been in Illinois, I can actually say it's a pretty big cultural shift.
Yeah. Well,
didn't
okay.
you find?
I mean, honestly, I don't do too much in Pittsburgh.
I'm too busy
right,
reading
right.
books.
You're in grad school. Your PhD program. Never mind. Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just didn't want to, the Pittsburgher in me didn't want Illinois and Pittsburgh to be collapsed.
Right. I know you have your feelings
Pittsburgh
about
pride.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, you have your feelings about Illinois.
I have feelings about Illinois.
yeah, right, right.
Anyway.
So moving on. What I think is so valuable about that is to let everybody know in advance, because Karen talks about this in your first year on the tenure track that is applicable to your first year in graduate school. You're doing all the major life things in one moment and then dropping into something you have no experience in. So
exactly.
even if you move and take a new job, you're usually taking a job in a thing you've done. And this is, I'm going to go to a new town. I'm going to start a new program. I'm going to, for a big chunk of people, do it on my own, or I'm going to try to do it with my family. So everything from where's the grocery store to
where do I get my hair done?
To and where's my email? And so I think reminding people that it's going to be a lift. I mean, it's a heavy lift that first semester to get all that together. It's just great.
Yeah. And I mean, I couldn't agree more. And I think at this point, that's something that is like, I'm, you know, you get used to it at some point, but there are a lot of people who this is their first time doing this. And it's like, you're going to be okay. It is going to be overwhelming, but here's like some things that you can do. And then here are some people who are also doing the same experience. And that also can help us feel less alone in that newness.
Mm-hmm. And have somebody, the networking is a great tool there to just reach out and say, good grief, this is really hard. Mm-hmm. It
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
And also, I mean, you know, just to acknowledge the import of what you're doing, because all of these transitions I have to assume are more fraught for students of color, mm-hmm. Black students in particular, who are moving into spaces where you don't know what is safe and who is safe, mm-hmm. and where is safe. What neighborhoods are safe? I mean, none of them, you know, it's like, a safe is a relative term, I'm sure. But you have these, you know, this is not just a question of comfort. I assume it's a question of real safety. So I think that the fact that you speak about this must be such an incredible intervention.
I hope so. That's the whole aim. And just to like, again, soften, because the reality is, all right, people are still going to deal with like some shock of it, but it's like, at least the shock is like, oh yeah, I heard about this already. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is not new, and figuring those things out and finding those places, or knowing there's at least like one space you can go to, even if it is digitally, it does help again to like soften the blow.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Have you heard from any alumni of your previous summits getting back in touch and telling you, like, oh my God, that thing you told me, it turned out it was totally true?
I mean, I don't know if I can't think of anything off the top of my head that's like that direct response, but I've definitely gotten some, I can do this, I can implement this immediately. Now I have a plan. I'm starting to put together a plan. And the cool thing is also that a lot of people come back, right? Yeah. So, you know, I have people who've been to every single summit.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, at this point are my friends, you know, virtual friends, because we've been going through this process together. So even again, like people who are listening, like, oh, I'm not an incoming student. This is still a space where there's a lot of useful information. Mm-hmm. Even if it is a refresher, it's still useful. It's heard, you're hearing it from a different voice, more than likely, all of those things. But also, I just feel like what happens is, all, you know, I have the scholar circle. So individuals can, if you want to stay connected, like with me, you can then join that space. And then we're working together. We're studying together every week. We're doing things together. So people have like, just like this, you just kind of then now know I can go here, you know, here's a community that I could go to. I feel like I keep saying that, but it's true.
It's true.
But otherwise I think what's been really gratifying now that we're in the fourth year is like seeing people who did it 4 years ago and they're like ABD, or people who did it 2 years ago and they've graduated with their master's. I mean, I don't want to get emotional, but that has been really moving now that Black in Grad School has been around for a while. It's like, whoa, people are like actually making progress and doing really amazing things and getting through their whole grad school journey or making it to major milestones. And the fact that, you know, the summit helped them with a piece of that, it feels really special.
Mm-hmm. Well done. I just think, Alante, you're the coolest person. I mean,
so much to me.
It's so true. I mean, you overcame all these challenges yourself. You're managing your own PhD program, your own research, professional development, and then you go above and beyond that, and you ask, what can I do for others? And then create this whole infrastructure and then keep it going for all these years. I mean, I have just nothing but respect.
I genuinely appreciate that. I mean, you know, I hold you all in high regard, and that you all have invested in not only to share with your platform and then to like make a financial investment, like means so much to me. And like, it's so affirming that, you know, the service that I'm trying to do and help I'm trying to offer is value. So I really appreciate it.
So I'm going to ask you after all that feel good stuff, I'm going to ask you a little bit harder question. Right?
Sure.
So you are, when you start listing out your CV, you're a phenom, right? I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. So I'm looking for two explorations in that. One is kind of maybe a reminder to the listeners who are just having trouble getting through their day. What are the resources and tools that you're using that allow for you to be that kind of organized? I always think of it, when I think of you, I think it's, my brother is an engineer. Mm-hmm. And so I know engineer brains can really do a lot. They do. Mm-hmm. They kind of make the rest of us with our kind of windy brains go, how do you do that? But I would love to hear about what is your background or your training that makes that possible for you? And then a little bit of where do you see the pitfalls of that overperformance? And that's the hard part is where, because one of the things I talk a lot about with the Black women I work with is that sort of 150% to be, you know, got to be up here, got to do this, got to do that. And it has repercussions, sure, obviously. So sure. Just both of those questions.
Yeah. So to answer your first question, I feel like this is the first year Blacken in grad school has been actually organized. Like, it has always been like a creative space for me. So I kind of have let it kind of be as I'm inspired. But this year, you know, I've been really fortunate to like grow in a way that allows me to have like Stephanie, who does editing, and then another friend, a dear friend of mine, Shannon, who writes a lot of stuff. Like, I don't even lie, like, people know, like, I'm an engineer, I hike, you don't like writing, but I have someone who kind of helps like with the show notes and then like some of my emails and just getting like the content organized, and then I can still go and do social media posts. So I have been able to take some things off of my plate as Blacken in grad school has grown so that I have more space to get it organized in a way that other individuals can kind of come in and be more supportive. Like, up until this year, I did the summit single-handedly, from speakers, organizing, hosting. I did all of it. This year, there's a team of 7 people who are working with me to get it done, right? But I had to get it into a place that it's not all in my head. Right. So that's what I kind of spent some of the pandemic doing, is like, okay, what does this even look like? Let's make a Trello board where everything can kind of exist. And that way individuals can come in and be more helpful. So that helps. And I live and die by my calendar.
Right.
And as far as like self-care, I make sure I work out. So I work out at least 4 times a week. I try to journal. I go to therapy regularly. I used to go every week until about a year ago. I was able to knock that down a bit. So those things are like non-negotiables for me as far as taking care of myself. And I think that's how I'm able to manage, is because I know when I'm getting overwhelmed, it's because I'm ignoring myself. Like, okay, oh, I'm getting cranky. I'm getting like really emotional. Like, it's probably because I haven't been taking care and prioritizing my full self the way I need to. Now, your second question about kind of the consequences of the overperformance. I think that especially like, you know, 2020, so much happened, right? There's so many different things. And then like, there were some acute things that happened to Black folk and the way that the Black community kind of dealt with collective loss. And I'm from Detroit, which is a city that was actually hit really bad by the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so there was another layer of loss that I felt like I experienced last year, just because so many people in Detroit passed away. And I think that sometimes when I feel frustrated, I've always turned to service as a way of like, that is my action towards like making things better. Mm-hmm. And I feel like last year I did another summit, like a week-long conference called Juneteenth Week that I just like thought up randomly and decided to do. And I overdid it. I mean, I spread myself so thin for like that 4-week sprint. And I was like, I'm not doing that anymore. And so I am just more realistic about what I can do. And even with the summit, it's typically in May. And I knew that I had some milestones for school that I wanted to get through. And I knew that there were some things I wanted to just have in place and the level that I wanted to do this at, that yes, I could have done it. It would have been like this week, like this past week. Oh, no, sorry. Next week. So it would be like the week before Memorial Day. I mean, could I have done it? Yes, but I would have been run ragged and not taking care of myself and not doing things. So what I've decided to do is like giving myself a threshold, right? Like if it's 0 to 100, I don't let myself get below about a 30, you know? And that means I have to also kind of plan. But that has been that drawback I really felt last year. I mean, I had some dark days after spreading myself that thin. And I said, I don't want to be in that mental place anymore. And then there's the other side of just like sometimes feeling like not everyone recognizes the value of what I'm doing. And right. sometimes that doesn't feel great. But at the end of the day, like, I'm not going to not do it. I know it's important because I wish someone did it for me, you know? Right. So there's that piece that sometimes stings a bit as I think about life after graduate school, since I am coming, you know, I'm definitely within the last year of my program. I don't know how this work that I'm doing will be valued when I'm being evaluated for a job, but I'm not going to not do it because someone else might not think it's as valuable as I do.
Yeah, no, I'd be with all of the interview and I mean, job prep and everything we do, I don't understand how it could not be perceived as valuable.
I think it'll be perceived as valuable.
Yeah. Quite. Like from everything from like, there are not a lot of people who can come up with an idea, put it together, implement it, adjust it, do it again, implement it.
Yeah. And the trick will be just that as you go into the job, that they don't sort of add that as a separate uncompensated task for you. Right. Oh, we love that thing you did. Keep doing it here at Berkeley and also be an assistant professor of engineering. And everybody else is just being an assistant professor and you have a whole other second job.
Yeah.
So that's my only worry, but I think they'll be super impressed.
I hope so.
And I just want to pause here that, again, you continue to be sort of a role model in this summit this year, saying this summit needs to be run by more than one person. I need help. I need people to take these things off my plate is just remarkable. Mm-hmm. So just
thank you.
Props to you for that, because it is incredibly difficult to do when it's your baby, first of all.
Yes.
Right? Like, it's so hard to just say, okay, you can answer my emails, I think. You know? No, not that way. And also, I just want to, I think you offer another great opportunity for people to look at with honesty what they don't like or don't do well, right? To be able to say, I, like you said, high key, don't like writing. Yeah. So, instead of I'm going to browbeat myself into a person who likes writing, now I'm going to offload it.
Or just avoid the writing, and then the thing doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, avoidance is such a common response to that.
So just not avoiding it and offloading it, just, you know, it's a masterclass in how to be productive. So congratulations.
I appreciate that. I have to leave space to write when no one else can write my dissertation. So I'm like, that is all I'm writing.
That is all you're writing. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You are doing nothing else but that. Well, do we have, you have one more question?
Nope.
Or
nope.
Okay. Thank you so much for talking to us. We are so excited about the Grad School Success Summit. We encourage students of color, graduate students of color who are already in programs, who are coming into programs, faculty members, whoever, we really encourage you to go in that digital swag bag. There will be discounts for professors in services. So make sure that you come and see how awesome this whole thing is.
Yes. Yes. Thank you all again. Like you all listening, like the professor is in is sponsoring the summit, and we could not have done it without you all investing in the vision. So I'm so grateful. I'm always happy to talk to y'all and just happy to be here.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Good luck. And we'll be in touch by email.
Sounds good.
I might have to lurk on live IG live. I might just one last note here. This podcast is made possible every week by the exceptional work of our editor and producer, Stephanie Blair. If you happen to need audiovisual work, be sure you go check out baddieblair.com, BaddieBlair.com. And also, I encourage you to check out her phenomenal home decor and apparel designs, and you can check those out at chochochen.com, chochochen.com. As always, Stephanie Blair, we are grateful for your incredible talent. Thank you.